You know, the newspaper business is a tough grind. And today, another shut its doors. It's the Business News Hour for Monday, the first day of July. Thanks for being with us, everybody. An interesting trend is emerging as millennials do exactly what their parents and grandparents have done in the past. We've got a list of the top five franchises in the nation and the five who are really struggling. It's a big deal for Wells Fargo in Principal Financial, and in a sector that faces a turnover rate of 117%, what might an employer do? Those stories and more, along with Laura Kennard talking social media, road diets, food diets, and even networking. But first, the business news headlines.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of the HR professionals at Oasis, a paychecks company at oasisahr.com. Taro International, a company that trains business leaders to be more successful. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Taro. TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, with members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand. NTPDA.com. And AARP, where they work to provide leadership in a host of issues from healthcare to creating more livable communities. Learn more at aarpiowa.org. The business news is next.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to the Monday edition of the Business News Hour. I'm your host, Michael Libby. Well, today, one of the oldest newspapers in the United States shut down. It's becoming a trend as more and more newspapers cut staff or just plain quit. Today saw the demise of yet another one of America's oldest dailies, The Vindicator, which serves Youngstown, Ohio. The paper had just celebrated its 150th anniversary. The local television station reported that 144 people have lost their jobs. The Vindicator was of modest size by daily newspaper standards. It claimed 100,000 online and newspaper readers. And like many papers, it's been owned by a family. Due to unsustainable losses, the Mag Browns could not find a buyer, nor could they afford to keep the doors open. The shuttering of the Vindicator comes just as the New Orleans Times-Picayune merges with the New Orleans Advocate. Virtually the entire Times-Picayune staff had lost their jobs. News Media Group, famous for its newspaper cost-cutting, recently sliced about a third of the jobs at the Reading Eagle. It also is 150 years old. Media News has sliced jobs from Denver to Boston. The company made an unsuccessful run at a buyout of Gannett, an effort the Gannett board killed just weeks ago. And the problem of cuts in the newspaper industry has become epidemic. A Pew study just last year showed that at least 36% of the largest newspapers across the United States, as well as at least 23% of the highest traffic digital native news outlets, experienced layoffs between January of 2017 and April of this year. But back to Youngstown, Ohio. It was formerly a busy American factory city, but it's lost much of its population, and many of those who remain, unfortunately, live in poverty. It has become one of America's fastest shrinking cities. While everyone seems to talk about the growth of the urban center, there's another interesting trend happening in the suburbs. Millennials who have put off marriage and having kids are starting to do something their parents and grandparents before them have done, and that is move to the burbs. In an echo of the post-war baby boom, many U.S. suburbs are again suffering growing pains. Not enough schools, too much traffic for two-lane roads, and scenic farmland being plowed under for housing tracts. After several years of surging urban growth, suburbs now account to 14 of the 15 fastest-growing U.S. cities with populations over 50,000 people, that according to the census. Millennials priced out of popular big cities are flocking to places like Frisco, Texas, Nolensville, Tennessee, Lakewood Ranch, Florida, and Scottsdale, Georgia. Not exactly household names, but among the fastest-growing destinations in the United States. Nearly all of the hot suburban locales have the good fortune to be a commute away from thriving cities or outposts of successful corporate businesses. The financial crisis and subsequent recession stalled suburban growth, but that may prove to be just a bump in the road. The shortage of affordable housing in and around big cities is driving some people to fast-growing suburbs. Well, The Motley Fool has a story out today about franchises, the hottest franchises in America, and the ones that are suffering. There's no doubt the retail world in the United States is changing. And here, according to the Motley Fool, are the top five franchises, just in case you're interested. One of the more unique franchise models that's spread in recent years is Planet Fitness. The discount gym that's popped up in malls and storefronts as landlords search for traffic drivers like fitness centers, which can bring individual visitors in multiple times a week who then might spend money at surrounding stores and restaurants. Planet Fitness's store count increased 15% last year, while revenue grew by 33%, and membership increased 18% to 12.5 million people. Number four on the list is the UPS store. The UPS store was recently named number five in Entrepreneurs Magazine of Franchise 500 list, a ranking based on factors like size, growth, support, and brand strength. There are now more than 5,000 UPS store locations in North America, and the company's found ways to add new stores with a store-in-store model that allows franchisees to open locations inside larger retail stores. And let's talk pizza for a moment. No restaurant stock has performed better than Domino's over the past 10 years, as the pizza chain revamped its recipes and was way ahead of the curve on new technology that made delivery easier. Shares are up more than 3,000% during the past 10 years, and franchisees have been among the beneficiaries as nearly all of the pizza chain's locations are franchised. Last year, Domino's franchisees saw comparable same-store growth of 6.8% in the United States. And we had this story last week about Chick-fil-A. The average location now generates more than $4 million in sales annually. That's more than any other large restaurant chain, and the company is the third largest fast food chain in the United States sales, behind only McDonald's and Starbucks. Chick-fil-A ranks at the top in customer satisfaction in fast food, and considering it still has less than 20% of the U.S. locations of rival McDonald's, it should have plenty of room for expansion. And at the top of the heap, McDonald's is the world's biggest franchisor with $86 billion in franchised sales last year. 93% of the company's restaurants are now owned by franchisees. Recent results show that McDonald's and its franchisees continue to perform well. Comparable sales rose by 4.5% overall last year, and here in the United States, it was up by 2.5%. Both figures improved, by the way, in the first quarter. Now let's take a look at the franchises the Motley Fool says are struggling. Party City comes in at number five. The retailer said earlier this year it would close 45 stores as part of an effort to optimize its real estate footprint. Party City is solidly profitable, but investors seem to take a dim view of the stock as shares have lost two-thirds of their value over the past 5 years. Number four, Hertz. The rental car giant that also owns Dollar and Thrifty has over 10,000 locations around the world owned by both franchisees and the company. However, like much of the rental car industry, Hertz has been struggling to fend off the rise of ride-sharing, which has become a substitute for car rentals for business travelers and others. The company has reported operating losses in each of the past 3 years. While pizza might be a favorite for Americans, some chains are not performing well. And despite a growing market for fast food, Pizza Hut actually saw system-wide sales decline by 5.5% from 2013 to 2018. At a time when pizza delivery is seeing increased demand, Pizza Hut's greatest problem is that many of its locations are meant for dining in. While 40% of the company's U.S. locations are dine-in, the dine-in business generates just 10% of the company's sales. Another pizza company who hit the skids has been Papa John's. Much of that has to do with the very public outing of its founder, John Schnatter. As a result of the fallout around him, domestic comparable sales fell by 10.5% last year, following a 6.9 comprehensive decline in the first quarter. And leading all franchises that are in trouble is Subway. Once the king of sandwiches, Subway is hurting. The chain grew to more than 40,000 locations globally, making it the world's biggest restaurant chain by store count. However, in recent years, changing customer tastes, an inability on Subway's part to evolve, the saturation of the brand, and competition from Well, chains like Panera and Jimmy John's seems to have led to its decline. Subway closed more than 1,000 stores in the United States last year, marking the third straight year it closed more locations than it opened. There you go. The top five on both ends of best-performing franchises and the least-performing franchises. Principal Financial Group says it has closed its purchase of the Wells Fargo Institutional Retirement and Trust business. Principal said it's beginning the integration of the Wells Fargo 401k, pension, executive deferred compensation, employee stock ownership plans, and asset advice business. The deal will double the size of Principal's U.S. retirement business. Principal previously announced the $1.2 billion deal would be financed with cash and senior debt financing. Des Moines, Iowa-based convenience store chain Kum & Go has announced that 2,000 of the company's part-time positions are now full-time jobs, making employees eligible for an enhanced benefit package that includes health insurance, a 401k, paid time off, tuition reimbursement, and leave for new parents. In total, 5,000 employees work for Kum & Go, both in-store and at its headquarters. The full-time jobs range from cashier to assistant managers. That pays between $12 and $20 an hour in Des Moines. So what's the driver behind all this? Well, while politicians will point to recent tax cuts, the real reason seems to be the tight labor market. This is Kum & Go's way of recruiting and retaining talent. And here's what faces the convenience store industry. The traditional turnover rate for the sector is, get this, 117%. While Kum & Go reported a 90% turnover rate in February, they know it's turnover that eats away at profit, so investing in their employees seems to make sense. Hey, come on back. We've got Laura Kennard in. We're going to be talking about a host of things, from road diets to food diets to blogging ideas. It's all coming up next.